So if you, so the Gemara says that in truth you can say mitzvos ain't on sichas kavona. Mitzvos don't need kavona. If mitzvos don't need kavona, then he's already yetzer with the first tibul. So why do you need a second tibul? Says the Gemara, because for the first tibul, he did it in order for hekero letinokas. He did it that the tinokas should see something is going on and that they should ask a question. My question on that is, but sof kol sof, but in the final instance, did he have kavona or didn't he have kavona for chazeres? He didn't have kavona for chazeres. And if we say mitzvahs ain't on tzrichas kavona, you don't need kavona for chazeres. So therefore he should be yetzer for borer in any case. So what is the answer to that? Ezra 2 weeks ago, which is 6, and the question is more important than to understand the answer. That is, question is everything. We are saying now that even if we say mitzvahs einon tzrichas kavona, when he eats chazeres for the tibul rishon, he is not yetzer. Why not? Because he is doing it for a kedol etinokos. But my question is, if he is doing it for a kedol etinokos, has he got kavona on it or not? For borer, he hasn't.
No.
But if we say mitzvahs ain't on tzriches kavona, then he should be yetzer. You understand my question now, Ezra?
Yes.
David, you understand my question. That's a very simple question. And as simple as the question is, the answer is even more simple. So what is the answer? That's right. He's got a kavona lehefach. It's not that he hasn't got a kavona. He's got a kavona for something else. He's got a kavona that it should be, he's doing it for a purpose, he's got a kavona, that the children should see and ask a question. When do we say mitzvahs ain't on tzriches kavona? If he does it and he hasn't got kavona, a man puts on his tefillin, and he's not thinking about that he's doing a mitzvah. He's not thinking, kushatum la'israel yurecho v'yula tetufes beide yurecho. He's not thinking that he's been mekayim a mitzvah. What is he thinking? He is thinking something quite different. But he's putting on his tefillin that he's doing mechanically. He's making a brocha that he's doing mechanically. If we say mitzvahs, einot tzichas kavona, you've got the mitzvah of tefillin nevertheless. But what would be the position, chas v'shalom, and I'm giving it just, I'm allowing myself to give you this just in this example. What would be the position if he's putting on his tefillin for Buddha? That's the reason he's doing it. And putting on his it's not that he hasn't got any kavona. He's got a kavona farkert, he's got a kavona kenegad, he's got a kavona lehefech. He's putting it on to show how he's prepared to bind himself together, to bind himself and to put himself into chains just to fulfill Buddha's will. Then you think he'd have the mitzvah certainly not. When do we say mitzvahs einon tzriches kavona and yet he gets the mitzvah if he's got no kavona at all? But if he's got a kavona which is different, he's got a kavona but another kavona, then it doesn't work. So that is what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, what proof have you got that since if there are no other Yerokos, he's permitted to use Chazeres? And that is only a Tibul Rishon. But there's a Tibul Sheni. What proof have you got, so therefore you've got to say Mitzvah Tzriches Kavona? That is why he needs a Tibul Sheni and he didn't have Kavona for the first one, even if you say Mitzvah Einon Tzriches Kavona. The reason that he has a Tibul Rishon is because he's got a Gavona, which is Hekeiro Letinokos. That is why he's not Yetzer with that and he needs a second Tibul. But if he had no Gavona at all, he would really be Yetzer the Chazeres and the Morah there. Which is an excellent question now that the Gemara asks. Michael, are you with me? So now the Gemara puts forward another view altogether. So we've got two views in the Gemara. We've got Rish Lakish who says, David, are you still with me?
Yes.
Body and soul, or soul only? Right. And if it can only be the one, give me rather the body. If you're with me in body, then I know that this I can manage. Right. It's now, so we've got two views now. We've got the view of Rish Lakish that says from this Mishnah we can prove that mitzvah is Trichas Kavona. And we've got another view that says, no, it's no proof that mitzvah is Trichas Kavona. We can say mitzvah ain't on Trichas Kavona. Got the idea? Eliyahu, are you following a little bit?
A
little bit. All right. Now, let us go further. The Chi Temo says the Gemara. Got the place? It is, Mr. Black, it is 9 or 10 lines from the top of the page. The Chi Temo. And if you should say, in Cain, if so, Lishme Inon Sha'ariya Rokos, then let the Mishnah give the case with other herbs. If the idea is a Kera Latinokos, then don't do it with Chazeres. Let the Mishnah say, Hey Viulafonov Yerokos, Metabel Bohem, and he dips with them. Then why does he give the example of Chazeres? He can give it with the other. And then he would let us know that it's a Kera Latinokos. Says the Gemara, E Ashmi Imen She'or Yerokos, had he let us, the Mishnah let us know, the other Yerokos, Hava Amina, I would have said, where there are other Yerokos, one needs two Tibuli. One needs two Tibuli. Abul Chazeres lechuda lo boi treik ve Tibuli. But if you've got Chazeres, then you only need one Tibul. Komash Malon, it lets us know, the Afilu Chazeres, even if there is Chazeres, nevertheless, for Enon Trey Tibuli, we still need two Tibuli, and it can't be Yetzer with the first Tibul for moral. Because we do the first Tibul, that there should be an Ekeira Latinokas. So we are still very much giving a counter argument that we can even learn our Mishnah that mitzvahs Enon Tzviches Kibona. The Odin furthermore says the Gemara, Tanya we learned in a Beraisa. Now we learned in a Beraisa, you know what Damai is? Damai is, you know what Damai is? Then that Damai. You know what Trumo is?
Yes.
Meiser.
Yes.
If a person buys wheat or grain from an Amho Oretz, if a person buys wheat or grain, then he assumes, he takes it, that Meiser, Truman Meiser has been taken already. Mm-hmm. Then he can eat it. If he buys it from an Amho Oretz, it's not that he assumes that Demai has not been taken, Truman Meiser has not been taken. Mm-hmm. If Truman Meiser has not been taken, then it is, you know what it's called if Truman Meiser hasn't been taken?
Mm-hmm.
Teva. Then it is Teva. But he hasn't got the right to be certain that Truman Meiser has been taken. It's doubtful. It's a sort of fake whether Truman Meiser has been taken if he buys it from a Amor Oretz. You follow? Now it says here, we learned in a Beraisa, Ochlon Demai. He eats Moror, and it's speaking distinctly about Moror here. He eats the moror that is damai. It's a sophic whether tum has been taken or it's not been taken. And the word is made up of two words, two Aramaic words. Do mai. This mai. What is it? Do mai. This. What is it? Tanyo, we learned. Ochlon damai. He ate moror that is damai. Yotso. He's fulfilled his obligation. Ochlon below miskavi. He eats moror, and he has no kavona to eat moror. He's no kavona, he just eats it. Yotso. So what do we see from that statement? That mitzvahs triches kavona, mitzvahs einon triches kavona. Mitzvahs einon triches kavona. Because even if he hasn't got kavona for moral, he's yotza. Ochlon lechatzoin yotzo. The din is one must eat a kazayis moral. One must eat moral letters, the chazeres, for the tibusheini. That is equal to the displacement of an olive. What happens if he eats half, and then he waits a bit, and he eats another half? Is it all right, or must he eat it in one go? So the Mishnah says, Ochlon lechatzoin yotzo. If he eats one half, and then he waits and he eats another half, he's yetzer. Ubiban shelo yisho ben achilu lechavarto yosef mifdei achilus plus. On condition that he doesn't wait between one eating to another more than it would take to eat half a loaf of bread. And a half a loaf of bread, according to the Rambam, I think is the displacement of 3x. That is the Braisa. So what does the Braisa prove? What does the Braisa tell us? What is the reason that this Braisa is brought? To show that if he eats moral without kavona, he is yeter. Which shows that mitzvos don't need kavona. Is that right? Now, if we halt there for a moment, we come now to an interesting situation. Who says that from the Mishnah there's a proof that mitzvos triches kavona?
Rish Lakish.
So Rish Lakish says mitzvos triches kavona. What authority have we got that mitzvos do not need kavona? A braisa. The braisa says ochlon below miskavin. He eats the herbs without having kavona. The moral without having kavona is yotzo. So there is a braisa against him. Now the difficulty that we are faced now with is how can Rish Lakish, who is an Amora, go against a braisa? Especially as we are able to learn our Mishnah that mitzvahs einon tzriches kavona. How can he go against a braisa? Says the Gemara, Tannoihi. It is a machlokus of Tannoim. The Sanyo. Because we learned in a braisa, Rabbi Yosei said, Af al pi she tovel bechazeres, although he is tovel with chazeres, that's for the first tibul. According to Rashi and Rashbam, where there are no other yerokos, he uses chazeres and he's tovel with chazeres. Said Rabbi Yosei, although he is tovel with chazeres, mitzvah lehovi leponov chazeres bacharoshes ushnei tavshilim. Nevertheless, it's a mitzvah to put before him chazeres and charoses and two dishes. So he takes it, why is it necessary? Because he's still got to have the mitzvah of chazeres. He already had chazeres for the tibul rishon, because mitzvahs triches kavona. Asks the Gemara ba'akati mimai dilma kosova Rabbi Yosei mitzvahs ain't triches kavona. Perhaps Rabbi Yosei is of the opinion that mitzvahs don't need kavona. And the reason why we need two tribunim is because there is a kavona lehepach. But there's no proof that Rabbi Yosei says mitzvahs triches kavona. Says the Gemara, im kein my mitzvah. Why does Rabbi Yosei say it's a mitzvah lahavi? It's a mitzvah shows that the mitzvah shows it's mitzvah. It's got to be as a mitzvah that mitzvah needs kavona. We'll take that again in a moment. Now, look at the situation where we are at now. according to according to Rish Lakish mitzvos trichas gewonnen. Is there a braisa to support him? Rabbi Yosei supports him. Rabbi Yosei supports him. So he's got a Tana that supports him. So there's Rish Lakish and a Tana that say, Rabbi Yosei, that say mitzvos trichas gewonnen. On the other hand, there is a braisa which says explicitly that one is yetze moro, even if one hasn't got kavona to eat moro. One is yetze with moro. So we see that mitzvos ain't on tzrichas kavona, and that is the note on which the Gemara leaves it. So we are able to learn our Mishnah both according to the Manda Omar who says mitzvos tzrichas kavona, and according to the Manda Omar who says mitzvos einon tzrichas kavona. That's that whole little piece of Gemara that we've done. Now, are there any questions you'd like to ask me on it? Yes, Eric.
Is that a pattern? I've seen this word tanoi in the Gemara before. They often, what I'm trying to see is it's a pattern that someone will, when someone finds himself refuted by Baraisa, then he has to go to Tanoi.
Yes. This happens very frequently, where the Gemara says, but we learned, and Amora says something, but we have learned opposite to that. So the Gemara says Tanoi, so it will bring a Mishnah or a Baraisa to support the Amora, and then you've got a Mishnah and a Baraisa that differ with one another. And so we've got Braises that differ according to the one mitzvah strichas kavona and according to the other one mitzvah einon strichas kavona.
Does the Rambam or do they paskin one way or the other, even though the Gemara kind of leaves it open?
Now, you see, you're asking me to do something that is terribly dangerous. More dangerous for you than it is for me. Considerably more dangerous than it is for you than it is for me. I have been already inoculated against it. Do they use the word inoculated? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've been already inoculated against this thing. You haven't received any inoculations already. You've got no immunization.
I need a couple more shots.
If I tell you that the suck is that...
No, I don't want to know which the answer is, but there has been one.
You see, when we say mitzvos einon tzrichas kavona, that mitzvos don't need kavona. Tim, I'm afraid you've just got to try and settle down in the spot. Oh, yeah, you've got a spot. When we pasken mitzvahs einon tzrichas kavona, it doesn't mean to say you can put on your tefillin, you can think about Manhattan. Doesn't mean to say that. What it means to say is, if when you're putting on your tefillin, you are thinking of the Guggenheim Museum, when you should have been thinking about putting on your tefillin, you don't have to put your tefillin on over again. Which is quite a different thing to say. You don't have to have any kavona for it. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that is why I say that this is rather a dangerous thing to do, to give you the psak without giving you all the explanation for it. But as far as your question is concerned, yes, of course there's a psak with regard to it.
I have another question, but I'm sure everyone else knows the answer. What is the reason that one dips the first time into salt water?
That's a kera de dinokus. That is in order that the little one should ask the question.
That's the only reason that one dips into salt water. I mean, the salt water has no...
Well, I mean, do you want philosophy or do you want homiletics? Or do you want... or do you want...
Philosophy. Maybe everyone else knows it already.
It's all right. Philosophy is because when one eats, one dips into a relish, or into a sauce or into a dressing.
Okay. There's no more further significance in salt water then.
Do you want homiletics? Salt water represents the tears. These things, you see, you can do. The thing is, now we used to do learn Gemara like that, but that was because you at that stage, the only way I could get you interested was by giving you homiletics and philosophy. But now you've overcome, you passed that stage. You've grown up. Yes.
I want to say something. I'm trying to find backup examples for it, and I can't do it. I'm having difficulty. But it seems to me that there must be some mitzvot that require kavanah for them to, for the person to be yotze when he performs them, and some mitzvot which do not require kavanah.
Yes,
for
you
the
are.
Person to
well,
be
you
yotze.
See,
but I can't get my hand around it.
You see, you're quite right. You see, as I say, mitzvah tzivos kavanah, mitzvah enon tzivos kavanah, is a big and very important sugya in Masechta Brachos. I'll just give you an example. I know exactly what's worrying you, and therefore I'm going to give you this example. Let us say there are two very important mitzvahs that we do in the morning. The one is we put on our tefillin, and the other is we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Now, which one would you say is the more important one that needs kavanah? Why? You're right, but why?
I somehow see it being done. Oh, is that
because all you're saying is words. You have to put something else
exactly.
Into it.
Exactly. Yeah. Because it's only words. When you are putting into feeling, you're doing an action. So it's there, it's less, the kavanah is less meaningful there. But where it's only a question that you're saying words and that all the whole mitzvah consists of words, there is more reason. You're quite right. All this is discussed in the din, you see. And that, I think, answers your question. Of course it depends on what you are doing. You know, some people eat with kavanah. We're not dealing with mitzvahs. Some people eat with kavanah, some people eat without kavanah. Which do you think is more healthy?
With
kavanah is much more healthy. You know what you're eating, and you're eating, and you're thinking you're eating. When do you eat more? With kavanah or without kavanah? Without kavanah you eat more? When do you eat unnecessarily? When it's with kavanah or without kavanah?
Without
kavanah. So what is better, to have with kavanah or to without kavanah? So if a person eats without kavanah, does it mean to say that there's nothing's gone into his tummy? Does it mean to say he hasn't received nourishment? Does it mean to say that he hasn't eaten? He has eaten. But he's much better off if he's got kavanah. He gets more taste from his food. It's a much better effect if he eats with kavanah. And medically they say that that is the position. That if one eats and one is aware of it, one thinks one was eating it. And according to the deen, that is the way one should eat. That is the way one should eat. All right, have we got that part of it?
It says that when you put on a tefillin, you can do that without kavanah and you don't say the mitzvah.
Now, you see, I didn't say it that way. And before you ask questions on what I have said, or you draw conclusions from what I have said, or you make statements and declarations in connection with what I have said, it is wise to say to me, am I correct in the way I understood your statement? Is this what you said and what you meant? Then you get it. You follow what I'm saying?
Well, what you said was, if you put on your tefillin, you've put on your tefillin, kavanah or no kavanah, you indeed have done that act.
Yes? You've done that act. However unsatisfactory an act it is from the point of view of the deen, but the act has been done.
Which is not to say that you don't say it.
Yes, you are. You get it.
You don't say the mitzvah.
Yes. You get it.
So you put on your tefillin, and with or without kavanah, you don't say the mitzvah.
The mitzvah, yes. You get it as far as the mitzvah is concerned, the minimum requirement.
But if you also said the bracha before, and you said it without kavanah.
You said the bracha.
Yeah, but you said it without kavanah. You just said it.
You said mechanically.
Yes.
Yes.
Then you're not yotzei the mitzvah of saying the bracha, but you are yotzei the mitzvah of putting on tefillin.
I follow what you're saying, and it's a very good way of putting it. I don't know whether you'd say that you're not yotzei the bracha or not, but the degree of being yotzei is less for the bracha than it is for the tefillin. That you would be right.
Yeah, you don't want to make it all or nothing.
You follow? Yeah. That would be right. Have you got the idea now? Yes, Ezra?
Is it a mitzvah to have the children as special? Is it a possibility this week said about when your children will come to earth? Yes, we fulfilling the mitzvah when they do that? Yes, this is how the Seder should be. So why doesn't the Gemara mention that? That he's fulfilling a mitzvah?
Well, you know, we are going to discuss something like that, much nearer the end of the Shia, but I'll prepare you already for a position in the Shia. Let me put it to you this way. When you make a motzi lechem min ha'oretz on bread, you first of all cut your piece of bread, or on Shabbos and Yom Tov you say it over the whole loaf, and you cut it immediately afterwards, and when you've got the prusa, you've got the in your hand, what do you do with it?
Well, you dip it in salt and you eat it.
Is dipping the salt a mitzvah?
Yes.
Well, okay, all right, fine,
it's not.
And if it is not Friday night or Yom Tov, but it's Rosh Hashanah.
And you dip it in honey.
You dip it into honey. And if you haven't got any honey, don't you do it? Then you don't eat any bread.
I would eat bread.
You'd be quite right. I'd be very disappointed with you if you wouldn't eat bread. Of course you would eat bread. So is the dipping in the honey, is it a mitzvah?
No, I wouldn't say that.
It's not, but we do it.
Yes, it's a nice thing.
It's a nice thing. Well, hekera de tinekes, that the children say, well, it's a nice thing. But it's much more than that. Because we are going to get a Mishnah a little bit further on the next page, Kuf Tes Zion. Just turn to Kuf Tes Zion. Kuf Tes Zion, and yeah, look what it says. Mosvi lo keishedi, they pour out the second coast for him. V'chana ben Shoel Oviv. And yeah, the son asks his father. V'im daito v'ben Oviv melamdo. And if the son can't ask the question himself, he can't see these differences, then his father teaches him, Ma nishtanu alai la'azemi kol alelos, what is different this night from all other nights? And he gives him, and he particularizes what he finds difficult. So, it is a din. So it's a mitzvah. It's a din and it's a mitzvah to ask questions. That the children should ask a question. But it's a din on the adult to see that they ask the question. Got the idea?
Why does a man wear a kippah on the Seder?
Philosophy?
Yeah, so surely without
a question. Ethics? I mean, ethics or. Do you wear a kippah on Seder?
Yeah.
Nice.
But I don't know why.
Well, I've got to finish this page of Gemara. And then we can still discuss it. I've got to go through it first now with you. Omar asks the Gemara, a new piece of Gemara now. In the Mishnah we learned that Hayviyu Lafonav, they bring before him Matzo v'chazeres v'charoses u'shnei tavshili. The Matzo, the lettuce, the charoses, and two tavshili. And we don't know what the two tavshili, these two dishes, and we don't know what the two dishes are. Is that correct? Now, according to Rashi and Tosfos, when do they bring this in? According to Rashi and the Rashbam, please forgive me. According to Rashi and Rashbam, when do they bring this in?
After the first
table. Right. Immediately after the first table. According to Tosfos, when do they bring in the table? Before the first table. According to Tosfos, if you remember, they bring it in before the first table. He does the first table, then what do?
Take it out
and bring it in straight away again. Then the child says, what's this? He's a clever child. He says, what's this? If you need the table, then why do you take it out? If you don't need the table, then why do you bring it back? So the father says, we've got to bring it back. We take it out because we've done first table. We've got to bring it back because there's another table that we've done. Whose is the child? What's this business? So now, otherwise the question is, how does he know that there are going to be two tibulim? That is the way Tosfos learns it, which is an ingenious way of learning it, and solves many questions for us. But the Rashi and Rashbam don't learn it like that. Rashi and Rashbam is they only bring in the table and the Keora after the first table. Now, asks the Gemara, when they bring in the table, it says, on the table are Shnei Tavshilin. Asks the Gemara, my Shnei Tavshilin. What are the two dishes? Omer Avuno Silkova Arezo. Said Rav Huno, it is beetroot and it is rice. Two tafshirim. Robo have me hadir as silko ba arezo, how will the nopik me pume de Rav Huna? Robo would go after, like, would seek, especially after beet. You call it beet, not beetroot, don't you? You call it beet. After beet and rice, beets and rice, because that it was that went out of the mouth of Rav Huna. Because that is what Rav Huna said. Rav Huna said, silk of Arezo. We'll come back to that in a moment. Unless you don't ask me any questions. Omar Rav Ashi, said Rav Ashi, Shmami no, the Rav Huno, leis te chayish leho, the Rav Yochanan. Rav Ashi said, Rav Huno says that rice must be brought onto the Keora, onto the plate. Rice must be brought onto the plate. We'll soon see what the whole idea of this is. Now, what is rice? Is it herbs, or as they call it in California, herbs? No. Is it vegetables? Well, I think so.
In one sense, yes, in one sense, not. In two senses, it's vegetables.
It's a
plant material.
Green. It's greens?
No,
it's not greens. All right. Now, is it grain?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It is grain. Mm-hmm. Is it wheat?
No.
Is it oats?
No.
Is it rye?
No.
Is it spelt?
No.
And what
actually, it is spelt. R-I-C-E.
Barley. Is it barley?
No.
So, it's not one of the five minim that make chometz, but yet it is grain. What would what you call corn be? Maize.
Maize.
Would it be also grain?
Also grain.
Grain.
A soybean isn't grain.
That's a legume, isn't it?
Yes.
The domesticated grasses.
Yeah. Now, so a soybean is fine. But now, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri said, rice must not be eaten on Pesach. Not because it is chometz, but because it is second degree chometz. Because it looks like chometz, it's a grain. And it resembles chometz in so many ways. And one can make bread from rice. Did you know that one can make bread from rice? And one can make bread from rice. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri prohibited rice. But Rav Huna says that it should be silko and arezo. So we see that Rav Huna doesn't agree with Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. That's all the Gemara says. Omar Rova said Rova. Omar Rav Ashi said Rav Ashi. Shema mino. So we understand from this. The Rav Huna lays the chayish law of the Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Rav Huna isn't concerned with what Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says. The Sanyo, because we learned in a Beraiso, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Omer Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, Orez min dogonu. Orez is a type of dogon, is a type of rye. V'chayobin al chimutzei kores, He goes much further, Rabbi Yochanan ben Ruri. He says it's an Isra d'Oraisa. He says it is a type of rye. So he says it's not grain, it doesn't fall under grain. First of all, we say it's not a greens and a green, and it's not a herb, it's a vegetable. When we have vegetable, we say now we're going to bring it down, it's a grain. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says you can cut it down still further and say what particular grain it is. It falls into the category of rye. And since it falls on the category of rye, if he eats it on Pesach and it's become chometz, it's fermented, he's chayiv koreis, the odom yotzeva yedei chavosa bePesach, and if he makes, can make matzah from it. And with that matzah, you are yotze the din of matzah. So, but we see that Rav Ashi said, Rav Huna obviously doesn't agree with that, because he said you bring cooked rice onto the plate itself. Cooked rice onto the plate, what does that mean? That means that we don't consider this to be chometz. Got the idea? So, we know that Rav Huna said that the two tafshilin are beets and rice, silko and arozo. We know that Robo, because Rav Huna said that, he made a special point of getting beets and rice. Chizkio Omar, Chizkio said, afilu dog uveitzo she'olo. All you need is two dishes. It can be a dog, not a kelev, a dog, which is a fish. Yes. Which is a fish uveitzer she'olov smeared with egg. They smear it, even today they sometimes fry fish like that.
Oh, in an egg coating.
In an batter, egg coating, batter. Yes. Oh. Which is really, yes, which it seems is only one dish, that is also regarded two dishes. Rav Yosef Omar, Rav Yosef says, sorry, shnei nine bosor, you need two types of meat. Echod zeicher lefesach, the echod zeicher lechagigo. One to indicate, to signify, to symbolize the korban pesach, and one to symbolize the korban chagigo, because on the yontav, on that 14th in the afternoon, they also brought another korban, a festival korban, which is known as the korban chagigo. So we've got the shank, and we've got two. Says Rav Yosef, it must be meat. Ravino Omar Ravino says, afilu gormo uvishulo. You can have even a bone, you don't have to have the exact meat. You can even have a bone uvishulo and the soup in which it was cooked. This could be the two vishuli. So we finish that. Now we know what the two the two types of tafshil. We know the two dishes, we know what they is, what they supposed to be. It should be two types of meat. So we use a shank bone and we use an egg, a boiled egg. The shank bone to represent the Korban Pesach and the egg to represent the Korban Chagigo. Got the story now.
That pushes the meaning of meat a little bit to use an egg.
Is it a vegetable?
Who said that?
No. But you know, what happens if, of course, this is one of the unfortunate things of modern life. When our children were small, they always used to be. Ravino, you've got no questions to ask on that little piece of Gemara that we've just done.
Where are we?
We are on that Kuf Yudalet Omid Beis, more or less towards the bottom of the page, Jim.
Kuf Yudalet
Omid Beis. If you bring me your Gemara, I'll be able to find a place for you.
Thank you very much.
Peter, we have Peshito here. Peshito, here we are. Peshito. Yes?
I have a question, which is not probably the kind of question you'd like me.
Yes.
But it seems coincidental that the word for rice here is almost exactly, it sounds almost exactly like the Spanish word for rice.
The reason for it is that the Spanish got it from the Arabs. That's why.
The Latin.
In Spanish, it's arroz.
Is the Latin for yeah. rice.
In Hebrew, it's orez.
Orez.
In Arabic, it's arroza.
Arroz from pollo.
Probably get rice. The very good rice probably comes from that word. I must tell you that I don't know very much about this. And this next piece of Gemara is rather important for our understanding. It says the Gemara Pshito. This is clear. Heicho de iko she'ol yerokos, mevorech a she'ol yerokos bore priya adomo. Where there are other yerokos, there is parsley, there is cress, there is radishes, turnips, celery. You take one of those, and you make bore priyadomo, the ochil, and he eats it. The hodir mevorech alachilas moro, the ochil. And then afterwards he makes a brocha on achilas moro, and he eats it. So I take it to mean afterwards he makes a brocha alachilas moro, the ochil. That means later on the later in the meal. But heicho deleko elo chaso, but where there is only chaso is the Aramaic for chazeres, but where there is only lettuce, my, what is the deal? Omar Ravuna said Ravuna, and here it's very interesting to see because there's going to be a machlokus of Ravuna Rav Chisda. So don't forget, he's got only chaso. Only chazeres, which is the case in our Mishnah. Omer Ravuna said Ravuna mevorech meikore amore bore priu adomo the ochil. He first of all, for the first tibul, he makes bore priu adomo and he eats it. But he himself mevorech oleo al achilas morer the ochil, and afterwards he makes achilas morer and he eats it again. Maskiflu Rav Chisda asked Rav Chisda a question. La acha shemile kreiso heimenu chuzeru mavore choleo. After he's filled his tummy with it, he's filled his tummy already with chazeres, with letters, at the beginning of the meal, then he goes later and he goes and makes a brocha over it. That's not very nice. That's the same thing as being invited to a meal. And before one comes, one says to oneself, well, let me see what my host is going to give me. Salad to California, certainly give me salad. I have a jolly good feed of salad. She'll give me soup, I don't suppose she'll give me. She'll give me a beefsteak. I have a jolly good beefsteak. She'll give me a pudding. I have a jolly good pudding. Now I'm ready to go to dinner. And he goes to dinner and his wife puts on the salad, says, I just don't feel like salad. So she starts piling on a very big helping of vegetables and steak. I don't feel like steak. Don't feel like steak. Well, her face drops. You will have some vegetables. To tell you the truth, I wouldn't like vegetables either. He's filled his tummy already with all this. What does he want? He does her a favor. He has a steak and a vegetables. First of all, as misasek mit dem, as metapel mit dem. Why I use the words misasek and metapel will become clearer at the end of the shiur. He plays about with it on his plate. And then he leaves more than half of it on his plate. How do you think the hostess feels? He's already filled his tummy with it. So as says Rav Chisda, he says, I don't like it. He says he eats for the Tibul Rishon, he eats lettuce. And after he's filled his tummy with them for the Tibul Sheni, he comes and he makes a brocha still for it. That doesn't right. The guest that has left three quarters of what he's... First he didn't have the first salad, he didn't even have any. The vegetables he doesn't touch. Three quarters of the steak he doesn't have. And the guests call upon him to thank on their behalf, to thank the hostess afterwards. The last person you should ask for a thing like that. He isn't the suitable person for it. Came to still make a brocha on that. Says Rav Chisda, oh no. Elo Omar Rav Chisda, Basid Rav Chisda, Meikore Mevorech Olea Bore Priyadomo. on the first table he makes Borei Priya Adomo Va'al Achilas Morer Va'ochil, and he makes Al Achilas Morer and he eats it, and then he's Yetze it there. It says Matzos Matzos Umoreri Yochlu, that first comes Matz and after Mor. It's, if you're going to do something wrong, it's better to do, to eat the moro first and eat it properly, and then transgress the matzos umoro yechlu, that matzo should come first moro, then do it the right way, that matzo should come before moro, and you, your tummy is full of it already. That is the way Rav Chisto says. Believe yourself, and afterwards when he eats the moro after ochil achilo, Borei Pri Adomo on the letters, and afterwards they made Alachilas Moror when they had the Chazeres the second time. But Rav Sheish is Bereida Rav Yeshua Ovid Rav Chisto, and Rav Sheish is the run of Rav Yeshua did it Rav Chisto. That is where there was only Chazeres. Then on the first Tibul he made Borei Pri Adomo, and he made Ashek Rishon Mitzvah Sovet Tzivono Alachilas Moror, and he fulfilled the mitzvah of Moror on the first Tibul. And when he again, and at the second table, he made no brocha whatsoever. Says the Gemara, and it sums up as far as the law is concerned. The hilchos or kavosei de Rav Chisto. The law is like Rav Chisto. That is, that if he's only got chazeres, then he makes the mitzvah in the, on the first table. But Rav Acho brei de Rova mahadir asher or yerokas. But Rav Acho, the son of Rova, did everything he possibly could to find another type of greens, parsley, la fuki nafshe miplukto, in order not to bring himself into a machlokas, into a difference of opinion between Rav Huna and Rav Chisto. And that is the end of the sugya. Got it?
So if all you have is lettuce, then the first table is more than just...
According to the deen, then the first tibul, you've got to do the whole mitzvah in the first tibul, because to leave it for the second tibul, that what kind of a mitzvah is it? Your tummy's full of it already. That's no kind of a mitzvah. You haven't got the real taste and the real enjoyment of it. But we don't do it that way. We do it like Rav Acho Breide Rovo. We do everything we can to find another thing. We find parsley, and we have it like that. Now, if you are, that is the piece of Gemara that we have just covered. We haven't gone into it so very deeply, but I want to do another little piece of Gemara with you. Yes? How are we, Mais? We had a machlokes. We have three schools of thought with regard to the way we do it. The one, the first school of thought was the Rabbeinu Tam, and that is the school of thought that we follow. The Tosfos brings the Rabbeinu Tam. Now, please help me out. What is the Rabbeinu Tam school of thought? What does he say? How is the Tibul Rishon done?
With other vegetables, but
he can use chometz or mayim umelach, other vegetables, and he dips into vinegar or into salt water. Very nice indeed. That is as far as Rabbeinu Tam is concerned. What happens if he does use chazeres? Please come in, Uri. What happens if he does use chazeres?
Salt water.
No. Says Rabbeinu Tam, then it must be in Chareses. Why must it be in Chareses?
It's because of the
antidote
for
the poison.
Antidote, because of Kapo. Speak like a lambda. Mishum Kapo. So the Rabbeinu Tam says, but because of Kapo. Right?
Kapo.
Now let us take the shittos of the three Tzorfatim, the three great Frenchmen. The Rabbeinu Yosef, Rashi, and the Rabbeinu Shmayo. Rabbeinu Yosef, Rashi, Rabbeinu Shmayo, what is their shito? What do you use?
You use the lettuce and...
No. Also, preferably, sha'ar yarokas.
Oh, yeah.
You remember Rashi said, if he hasn't got any other yarokas, then he uses kazeh. Yes. Preferably, other yarokas. As the Rabbeinu Tam, with that he agrees with Rabbeinu Tam, with these three, in what do you dip?
Charosa.
Into charosis. Even sha'or yarokas, you must dip into charosis. So the reason can't be mishum kapo. Right? Because if it was kapo, then only for lettuce you need it. You don't need it for anything else. So we've got two shitas. Who is the third shita?
The Rambam.
We'll come to the Rambam in a moment. Who is the third shita? The Rashbam. The Rashbam. What does the Rashbam say? Of course, best is to use Sheor Yerokas. If you haven't got Sheor Yerokas, you use Chazeres. And then, what do you dip it? He says, but not charosis. So he's not worried about the antidote. He's not worried mishum kapo. He says, but not into charosis. Seems very strange. The Rambam learns it. Exactly the same as Rashi, the Rabbeinu Yosef, and the Rabbeinu Shmaya. That better is to use Sheol Yerokas, and the Rambam says he brings on the plate Yerek Acher, on the plate he brings it, because he learns that the plate is brought in before the Tibul Sheni, not like Rashi and Rashbam that is brought in after the Tibul Sheni. He learns that it's brought in before the Tibul Sheni, and he says that on that plate there is a Yerek Acher, there is another greens there, and he takes that green and he dips it into what? Charoses. If there isn't another Yerek, then he takes Chazeres and he dips it into Charoses. But otherwise, he takes another Yerek and he dips it. Same thing as Rashi, Rabbeinu Yosef, and Rabbeinu Shvai. Is that clear? Now, I would like you to do a Rambam that you've got in your Gemaras. It's the Rambam of Perush HaMishnayos, and you will find it immediately after the Rosh. It will work out Daf Kuf Lamed Tes. Here it is.
You probably don't have it.
You haven't got it in yours. You've got it in yours. If you just give me your Gemara, I'll find it for you. That Gemara there, Mr. Black. No, the one that Tim has got.
No,
now, this is the Perush HaMishnayos Lo Rambam. That is the Rambam's commentary on the Mishnah. But I must warn you that this was done originally in Arabic. And it was translated from Arabic into Hebrew. So we have got the translation. Now look what the Rambam says. I'm going over the first part quite quickly. Seder shehu omer loch, the Seder that he's speaking about, who came, is like this. Maybe in the form of a shulchan, they bring before him the shulchan, umekadesh kaasher zohar, and he makes kiddush, as is mentioned in the previous Mishnah. Ve'ochel eze yerek, shenizdamein lo. And he eats any yerek that he happens to chance upon. Not chazeres. Acha shehidbil oseh b'charoses. After he has dipped it into charoses, that's the Rambam. Are you all with me? Vivorech olo bore priwa domo. And he makes a brocha over it, bore priwa domo. Vazeh sheomer metabe b'charoses. And that which it says, that he dips into Chazeres in our Mishnah. Lehudiacho, to let us know, ki bore priya domo yaborech, afilu al Chazeres shehu min amerorim. He says, and it lets us know that even if he uses Chazeres, he still dips it into Chazeres, lefi shehu ochle b'mokam yerek b'techilo, because he eats it in the place of yerek at the beginning of the meal. אבל כשאוכל מצו ואחר כך חזרס, but if he eats matzo first and afterwards chazeres, mevorech al achilas morer, im lo ochel techila morer. Then when he on the tibul sheni, he makes al achilas morer, ve'im ein lo ela morer. Now he says, and if he has got morer only techila of himself, only at the beginning and at the end, yevorech olof techila borepriu adoma va'achel kachad achilas morer. And he eats it, and afterwards he eats it without a brocha. So the Rambam says as follows, he paskins like Rav Chista, that if he's got only chazeres, he's got only, then he says then for the tibur rishon, he makes borek priya adoma and achilas moror, and he's yotze moror for the achila, for the first achila, for the first tibur, and afterwards, after the matzah when he has moror, he makes no brocha whatsoever. So he passes like Rav Chista. Ezra, are you with me?
Yes.
Right. Umashi sidarnu lechal yerek al kol poli va'achakach morer, and that we eat yerek and afterwards morer, kadei sheyiv yeshinui, in order that there should be a difference, ve'yishal ha-ben, and that the child should ask. Now says the Rambam, umetabel bekan in yonel shemis asek v'achilas ha-yerek. The metabel here means that he, it doesn't mean that he's doing an actual tibul, but it means shemis asek ba'achilas ayerek, that he is, it's not really a tibul here. If he just takes another herb, the word tibul is a technical term. It means he is just doing it, he's dipping it in because that is the way they eat it, but he's not doing it as a special mitzvah. Vacharoses, then he tells you charoses who taruvas sheyesh bo kehui udemus tevin, and charoses is a mixture that has a certain sharpness in it, a certain touch of vinegar in it, and it looks like straw. Vaze zechelatit, and this is to commemorate, to signify the mortar that they used. Va'anachnu osino so kach, and we, how do we make the charoses? Shorim to enim o tamorim, we take figs or dates, umavashlin oson, and we cook them, v'dochin oson, and we stamp them, archi yutibu, until they become a mush, v'loshin akol v'chomitz, and we knead it all with vinegar, v'nosnin bo shibolis neido ezov, and we put some spice into it, and the spices must not be ground. Right? That's all he says. Till there, we've got no quarrel with him. Now says the Rambam, Rabbi Elozer, Rabbi Tzoriko, Meir, Charoses Mitzvah. Says the Rambam that Rabbi Elozer, Rabbi Tzoriko, you remember we met him a couple of weeks ago in our Mishnah. He said, Charoses is a mitzvah. Says the Rambam, Lada Tau, according to the opinion of Rabbi Elozer bar Tzoriko, who says Charoses is a mitzvah. Shechayim Odom Leborech Hashek Rishon VeMitzvaso VeTzivon Alechilas Charoses. You've got to make the brocha, a separate brocha. And when you eat the Charoses, and you have to make Hashek Rishon who commanded us Al Charoses concerning the Charoses. That is the way that the Rambam understands the Mishnah. And until there, we have got no quarrel with the Rambam. We can understand the Rambam very well. The only thing he now says, the ein no halocha. And the halocha is not like Rabbi Elozer, Rabbi Tzoriko. It's not a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah. We paskin like the Tana Kama. We don't paskin like Rabbi Elozer, Rabbi Tzoriko. Still, we haven't got any argument with the Rambam. The only thing is, at this stage we must know, when Rabbi Elozer Rabbi Tzoriko says that it is a mitzvah, does he mean that charoses is a mitzvah d'oraisa or a mitzvah d'rabbana? Must be mid-rabbana. It can't be. In the Torah doesn't mention charoses. It mentions Moror, it mentions Matzah, it mentions the Korban Pesach, but it doesn't mention Charoses. So it must be that it is a mitzvah midrabonon. And the Rambam says, the halocho, the einu halocho, but the halocho is not like Rabbi Ozeb Rabbi Tzorek. So if the Rabbi halocho is not like Rabbi Ozeb Rabbi Tzorek, it's not even a mitzvah drabonon. Is that correct? But Rabbi Ozeb Rabbi Tzorek says it's a mitzvah drabonon, and to the extent that you've got to make a brocha shek rishon mitzvah of tzivonu, Allah says on it. On that Peirush HaMishnayos, we've got no quarrel with the Rambam. We only start quarreling with the Rambam when we turn to his great work, when we turn to his Yad HaZoko, and there, listen to what he says. He says, HaCharoses, mitzvah mi divrei sofrim. Charoses is a mitzvah from the Rabbonah. Zeicher letit. It's in memory of the teat of the mortar, Sheho you owed in Bobi Mitzrayim, with which they worked in Mitzrayim. Is it a mitzvah or is it not a mitzvah? Yari says it's a mitzvah medivrei sofrim. So like whom does he appear to Paskin? Like Rabbi Elozeb Rabbi Tzodek. In his Peirush HaMishnayos he says that it's not like that. So we've got to understand what it is that the Rambam is saying here. Mamon of Shech, which is it? And when it comes to the Tibur, he says, Maskil Mavorech Borek Priyu Adoma Belokeyach Yerek, and he takes a green, takes parsley, Umetabel Oseba Charoses, and dips it into Charoses, if you please, dips it into Charoses, the same as Rashi, Rabbeinu Yosef, and Rabbeinu Shmayo, the Ochel Kazayis, who Becholam Asubin Iba, and you eat a Kazayis of this. But you must dip it into Charoses. And Charoses is a mitzvah. And yet in the Peirush HaMishnayos, it's not a mitzvah. Now, I just want to explain this to you that you've got the whole thing very clear. You've got a din that on the ke'oro, there've got to be shnei tavshilim. There've got to be two dishes. Rav Huna says, beets and rice. Rav Hino says it must be of meat. We take a shank bone and an egg, a boiled egg. Those are the two tavshilim. Is it a mitzvah or isn't it a mitzvah to have those two tavshilim? Must be a mitzvah because it's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says it. So it's a Mishnah that you've got to have the shank bone and that you've got an egg on the plate. That is a mitzvah. What kind of mitzvah is it? A doraisa or drabono? It's a mitzvah drabono. Do we eat the shank bone or don't we eat the shank bone? Do we eat the egg or don't we eat the egg? So we see that on the plate there is a mitzvah which we don't eat. Then what is the mitzvah for? So what is it?
We remind ourselves.
How? Through what? Through what?
We point to it and we mention it.
But there's no bracha on it.
No bracha on it?
No.
So why? And there's no bracha on it. So it is there to be seen, but not to be eaten. It is there to be seen, not to be eaten. The Rambam says that Charoses is the same type of a mitzvah. It is on the plate. It's like shnei tavshilim. It's like the shank bone and it's like the egg. It is there to be seen, but it is not there. It is not to be seen. It is there. But there isn't a mitzvah to eat it. That's not the mitzvah of Charoses. And consequently, on the shank bone, do we make a brocha? On the egg, do we make a brocha? On the Charoses, we also don't make a brocha. That is the mitzvah. Then why do we dip in it? We dip in it not as tibul, but as tipul. We dip in it as Rashi and the Rashbam say, because all their eating was like that. All their eating was with a relish, or with a dressing, or with a sauce. All their eating was like that. But this isn't a mitzvah that he's got. The mitzvah is only that it should be seen. Now the whole thing comes out very nice. So according to the Rambam, and according to Rashi and Rabbeinu Yosef and Rabbeinu Shmayo, they say, even if he uses another herb, dipping, he should dip into the charoses, because it is good to use the charoses as a means of dipping. Once it is there already, I'm allowed to use it for that purpose. I don't have to make any brocha for it, but I'm allowed to use it for that purpose. The Rabbeinu Tam says no. Charoses is the charoses is mishum kapo. So for other reasons I don't need it. It's only because of kapo that I need it. It isn't a mitzvah. It's only an antidote. I've got to have it there as an antidote. The antidote is only for chazeres, but the antidote doesn't need for shoniyarokos. The Rashbam says no. That this is a different type of mitzvah altogether. The tibul has got, the mitzvah is that the tibul has got to be in the charoses. That is the whole mitzvah. So, it's not because of kapha at all, because it's got to be in, it's got to be a mitzvah on its own. So with that we are able to understand the reasoning that goes on behind the whole thing. Please have your tea now. Stood between you and your tea.
You said it.
According to the Rashbam, according to the Rashbam, you can't do it because the din is it must be moral in charoses zeicher latif. That is a special mitzvah. The dipping in it because of zeicher latif, but then you must reserve it only for the moral. For the mitzvah of moral, you can't do it before.
Sure, here's the cookie.
Very good, but then why do we dip it at all? If you're not going to eat it, and we can't.
Why dip it at all? That's Rashi and the Rashbam explained the Tosfos also, because all the eating was like that.
But in this case, we're not eating.
Which case?
In the case of the shank bone and the.
That we don't dip that.
We don't dip.
We only dip. I want to tell you, the Rambam goes even further. If you are interested, perhaps you're not interested.
No, we are. Yeah.
You are interested. The Rambam says that even the matzah's got to be dipped in charoses. He says, even the matzah in charoses, zeicher latit. And the Ravid doesn't like it at all. Oh, you know what the Ravid says about that? The Ravid says two words. Zeh heaven.
What do you say?
It sounds strong.
Very strong. Why does the Ravid say Zeh heaven?
Because
he says the main thing of matzo, says the Ravid, the main thing of matzo is to indicate the chayrus. Why do we eat matzo? Because when they went out of Egypt, they went out in such a hurry, they didn't have time to wait for it to rise. That we have. So the matzo is freedom. If it's freedom, then they didn't use teat, then they weren't working with mortar anymore. So you mustn't use the mortar for that. The Rambam says the main idea of matzah is to remind us that when in Egypt they ate matzah because they didn't have a chance to wait. They had to work so hard they couldn't wait for the bread to rise. If that is the case, then you've got to have teat. So that is the machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid. Yes, Ezra.
I would think the Rambam would say the Ravid, is that his name?
Yes.
If we pick up the matzah, we introduce it as follows from Ahmiyah. We don't introduce it.
Yes, but so you think the Rambam is right?
Well, I mean, I'm just saying that when we pick it up, that's all we choose.
Yes, the Ravid learns all lachmo anyo. This is the word of anya from the verb ayin nun a. You ask questions and you answer. There's so many things you can say about it. You follow? That's the way the Ravid learns it.
Rav, if all they're eating was with the dipping, then why do we say
in this particular way, before a meal, in this particular way,
the second tibul is in the midst of the meal.
It's not in the midst of the meal, it's before you start the meal.
A meal is
just have that gora.
A meal commences with hamotzi.
But just look at it.
Okay, just, so I know it's later, but
much later. That isn't considered.
Ask any child when does a meal start. He'll tell you.
Yes, but ask any child for Pesach when does the meal start.
Certainly later.
Then he won't tell you it starts with a hamotzi. He won't tell you that for Pesach. If for Pesach he will tell you it starts after Korach when the mother brings on the soup or the fish. Yeah, they bring on the grass first.
No.
Oh, pardon?
Yeah.
Grass means something else here, doesn't it?
That would be a swing.
Well, I please have your tea. Versions.
Of course. Well, that'd be the answer. Because yes. Otherwise, it's a good question.
Yes. What does it say in the Mishnah? How does it say it in the Mishnah? Well, just have a look at the next page.
A different question. They ask about the Korban Pesach.
Yes, but of course that was in one of his manabais.
So, yeah.
That was in his manabais, yes.
They ask it all about the dipping? Oh.
They ask it, must ask, yes. At the end. At the end. Shebechol ha'leilos onu onu.
They don't mention the dipping in the Mishnah.
Yes, they do. It says Shebechol ha'leilos ein onu chayobim letabel afilu pam achas. Ha'leila hazeh shtei pa'orim. Can you see that?
Yeah.
At the bottom of the page, yes.
Is that in Francis?
No. Are we pardon?
Is that the kind of parenthesis that's included or excluded?
Well, there is the Mabilim, if you look at the side, the Ayin Tosfos Yontef, Uve Mishnah Shebe Mishnayas, the Chain Psiko Bigamore, the Besomach. That there are different versions there. There are a lot of different versions.
No, but aren't there two kinds of parentheses, square brackets and round ones, and one is included in the other one?
The usual rule is that you leave out the cursive brackets and you insert the square brackets. Yeah, it's different.
But if we leave it out, that makes the
it doesn't make any sense at all.
Very unusual.
Yes, it does make. Well, it's Shebechol ha'leilos. It doesn't make any sense at all. So you've got to put it in here. Yes. Now there's just one other point, a light point that I'm surprised that none of you asked about it. You remember Rabuna said, "What are the shnei tavshilin that we should use?"
Rice.
Beets and rice. Silko and arezo. But what did Rovo do?
He went up and had these two rather tasty dishes. Because it came out
because Rabuna said it. He went, isn't that a strange reason to do it according? Because Rabuna said it. That means there must be reasons why it shouldn't be like Rabuna. But because Rabuna said it, he did it like Rabuna. He did it like Rav Huna. In other words, Rav Huna was his teacher. Rav Huna was Rav's teacher. And because Rav Huna said it, that was sufficient reason for him to do it exactly like Rav Huna said and not for any other reason. Another question we must ask, but isn't this the remotest of all? One would say that what Rabina says, that two types of meat would be most appropriate. So why do they take the two things herbs away from it? Can anybody suggest an answer? We've dealt with the idea in various forms. Can anybody suggest an answer?
It's
Rav Huna says that it should be that it should be Silko and Arezo. I would say that when Rav Yosef says Shnei Minei Boso and Ravina says Afilu Gromo Vishulo, it's much better. It's more like the idea of the Korban. So, how is it that Rabuna should say, thank you, Master Boy, thanks. How is it that Rabuna should say something that is so remote?
It may be that he couldn't afford the more expensive thing, and he had to use a form vegetable part instead.
Wow. Have you ever heard a reason given why on Hanukkah we use an 8-branched menorah, not a 7-branched menorah? We don't want it to resemble too closely. We don't want it to resemble too closely. It is only an indication that we should remember, but that it should remember that we should in any way associate it that we don't want. To follow.
So this
has to be a part of the destruction of the... After the second base of Mikdash, yes. Yeah. But it seems that even when the base of Mikdash was there, they also had the Kotel Chagiga. Not altogether quite sure how it worked, but it seems they also had. All right, gentlemen, we'll dive in my room.
Well, this actually is an average of 10-year treasuries, but 30-year are almost the same.
Yes.
Then the short-term rates are moving up more rapidly, and Fed funds in the first part of 1985, that is a year from now, will be in the neighborhood of 14%.
Short-term rates.
That's the short-term rates, Fed funds rate.
You expect to get a hump back then in the interest rate curve again.
Yes, the yield curve, which is, as it's described, in a positive slope, meaning short-term are lower than long-term, will reverse, and short-term will be above long-term a year from now.
Will the trend of lower unemployment, more and more people going back to work, will that continue or will it reverse?
That will continue, and it is a reflection of the general level of business activity. But credit markets, interest rates, and the stock market are looking ahead and responding to much more than the level of business activity.
Where do you see unemployment getting down to as a statistic in 1984?
Unemployment will probably be dropping in the range of 6 or 7%.
6 to 7. And where do you see growth in the GNP? We saw, 3.6% in 1983?
Before I answer that, I have to add one little point. That's the reported unemployment rate. The actual rate will be 1.5 to 2 percentage points lower. And the reason that the actual is differing is the non-taxed economy, which is the fastest growing sector, and many people who report that they are unemployed in the taxable economy, but working in the non-taxed economy.
You don't think there's also a 1.5 to 2% unreported unemployment of the discouraged worker?
You're considering that as the offset. There has been discussion of that, but I think that that's a much softer number. And I believe it's much less accurate.
How about your feelings about GNP? I'm sorry to fire
your
machine gun.
The way we should go. GNP will be up approximately 6% in 19. It will be up in the neighborhood of 5 to 6% in 1984, and that's a very big number.
That's an incredible number, Tracy, because it's only 3.5% this year, and it's a tremendous recovery anyway.
Yes, correct. But the reason for that very strong expansion is that there is tremendous fuel to the fire from the yield curve, which is encouraging business borrowing. It's encouraging business expansion, encouraging inventory expansion, and you're going to be seeing this translated into output rising very, very rapidly.
Do you have any strong feelings about the direction of the gold price?
The price of gold has responded to in the last year, to fears of confiscation abroad.
Mm-hmm.
The U.S. is regarded as the haven of last resort.
You think the dollar will continue to be so strong?
Every other explanation that I have seen as explaining gold has fallen by the wayside except that one. So as unhappy as one may feel every time we launch an aircraft carrier, it does strengthen the price of
the dollar and reflects in
the price of gold.
And decreases the pursuing value of gold. What would you say would be the best investment for one seeking income in 1984?
seeking income in 1984.
Everyone talks about growth, growth here, growth there, the market's rising, all these things are producing capital. Many people, many of our listeners, seek income. They seek safe, conservative income. Where should they go for that?
Well, safe, conservative income, there are two sources. One is high-yielding stocks, stocks with strong dividends. The second...
Is that the utility industry?
Pardon?
Is that the utility industry?
Utility industry, selected utilities that are not going to be caught in some of the special problems of utilities, rate commissions, which are antagonistic, or utilities that might have liabilities with atomic generators.
Okay. And the other place for income?
The other place for income would be just the plain, straight treasuries. Bills. These are the short-term obligations, which will be increasingly generous in their rewards to holders.
Mm-hmm. That musical signal tells me we're virtually out of time, Tracy Herrick. Where would you expect money to go for growth in 1984?
Money for growth is going to go to the story stocks, and these are hot issues which traders are going to tout.
The story stocks.
The story stocks. Stocks which are based not on the fundamentals or performance, but on hope for performance.
And be careful, I imply, from the way you put that.
Be very careful, because only the fastest traders, the fastest able to spring in and out, will be able to make money. The investors will make money from the dull, unimaginative, undervalued stocks.
Tracy Herrick, we'll never fail but to make money out of your imaginative and never dull advice. Thank you very much indeed for joining us on this forecast program, and we look forward to hearing from you, I hope, throughout 1984.
Thank you, Kevin, and best wishes.
Thanks a lot indeed for joining us. Ladies and gentlemen, I only wish that there was more time and more brilliant people that we could bring to your ears and help them share with you the thoughts they've got. But looking back over this last 90 minutes, John Oliver Wilson told us that the direction of the general outlook for 1984 was definitely positive, that corporate profits would rise, and that prime rate of interest may also rise slightly. Charles Allman feels it's a zigzag market for a while, a little disappointment perhaps. He's looking at such areas as computer housing and soft drink industry stocks. Stan Weinstein, the technician, looks for a strong first half, a broad rally, and then he says, look at the aluminum industry construction stocks, airlines and restaurants. Jack Reed, our real estate expert, is lukewarm on buying property, but says if you buy it well, you can always buy it right, and this year could be as good as any. But most of all, hold it for 5 years. Don't expect to trade it overnight. And Joe Granville, forever claiming there's a bull trap out there to trap you and be careful. He says the parabolic curve and the way this market has risen so fantastically in the last 18 months has got to be over. He claims we're 4% away from the top in the market. He says the Dow will go down by the end of 1984. He suggests you will exit the year here and be well ahead than if you stay in it. And to Harry Brown's redeeming credit, he said, don't take anyone's forecast to be worth even what they're written on. So, instead, look for a more balanced, permanent approach to the year. Don't be fooled by the election year myth. And there is no bull market for metals on the horizon, but if it were to get low enough, both silver and gold, he'd be delighted to get back on board if gold got cheap enough and silver got down low enough as well. And Tracy Herrick gives us some very sanguine forecasts on the growth of the gross national product, up to maybe 5 or 6% in 1984, that unemployment may get down to 6 to 7%, and that interest rates will rise, then dip, then rise further. And he says, be careful if you want to expect to make profit in them, but you can look forward to good income in good quality, relatively short-term treasury issues. Well, that, if you will, has been the Moneyline forecast for 1984. The high mark on the Dow Jones is about the high level anyone's been forecasting, is in the 1450, 1460 area. The low mark I heard, I think, was 1050 from Joe Granville. That the direction of interest rates was sideways to slightly up, that the prime rate of interest could get as high as 12.5% to 12.25% and probably not go below 9.5%, that unemployment may get down to as low as 6 or 7%, that the growth in the GNP will range somewhere between 3 and 6%, 6% being the high level. The trading range for gold, a little hard to tie that one down. Seems to be the investment medium out of favor at the moment. But clearly, it's going to be an exciting year for your investments, and I hope equally for our Moneyline production to bring it to you. I thank you very much indeed for joining us this evening. I know that I want to extend a special word of thanks to our fine and superb engineer, Sedge Thompson, for managing to pull all this together this evening. Thank you, Sedge. And as always, to my good friend and colleague in crime, Joy Severin. Our thanks to her, as well as to our research associate, Joanne Roberge. It is my pleasure to thank you for joining us. You've made this program possible, and of course, if you'd like a cassette copy, we'd be delighted to send you one for the tender price of $7.75. You make a check out to KQED-FM, and you send it to 500 8th Street in San Francisco. The address is 500 8th Street, San Francisco. The zip code, 94103. I hope you'll make a particular point to join me next week. We'll be looking at the Humpty Dumpty world of Ma Bell. The telephone company, American Telephone and Telegraph, has split into seven different regional companies, and we're going to have three of the top analysts in the country joining me live here in the studio to talk not just about the demise of Ma Bell, but most of all about how you can make some money with the new telecommunications companies of the future. So, until next Thursday at 6:30, this is Kevin.